And then when you find them and you find out they also have a wonderful sense of humor, it's just like a double-dipped chocolate cone with chocolate syrup on top, you know? Are you with us,
Well,
Vinny?
I'm glad you think that I'm just that yummy.
You are yummy. I tell you what, it's like you're addictive. I listen to your broadcasts and I watch your videos on YouTube, and it gets me to where when I do mine, instead of being serious and going on my crazy rants, I want to get the lighter side of genocide, you know? It's catching. It really is. I think we were just talking. I had a simulcast right before this show here, and they did the same thing. I think that you are spreading.
Well, you know, I do consider myself to be a very contemptuous, noxious virus that attempts to slather onto your brainstem and infect it with copious quantities of giggles 5 days a week on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. I just got finished a four-hour talk, two of it live and two of it private, with Len Horowitz, Sherry Kane, Stuart Swerdlow, and Janet Swerdlow from Expansions.com. The two couples who are the most discriminated against, arguably, couples in the entire truth movement worldwide. And each of them has a permanent hour slot on my show on Fridays with open lines. So every Fridays now, everybody out there who's a truther, who feels down in the dumps, who feels like the system's discriminating against you, who feels like your family members are attacking you, or you just really want to have a stab at somebody out there and allow the fabulous nature of these very experienced truthers at your fingertips to divulge their knowledge upon your problems today. That's what I think is going to be really awesome, when all the truthers come together to support one another. We all need therapy of some kind, and it's a hell of a lot better to talk to a truther for your therapy than to take some description of pharmaceutical drug that will make you into a homicidal killing maniac. But I could be wrong.
No, I think you're very right. Yeah, you know what? Did you hear about the Nebraska thing going on there?
Oh, yeah, man. I was looking at the pictures like about 20 minutes ago, man. You guys are screwed. Get the F out of the United States. You're going to die. Everything's going to blow up. No, I'm just joking, folks. It's just going to... You know, but seriously, though, Northern Hemisphere looks bad at the moment. And the only activity I expect to see in the Northern Hemisphere in the next 1,000 years is radioactivity. Because between the Fukushima crisis, which has bathed the entire Northern Hemisphere in a swathe of copious quantities of nuclear particles that are accelerating daily as three exploded reactors burrow into the freaking core of the Earth. Look at it this way. Don't be in the Northern Hemisphere. Southern Hemisphere? A little bit safer. But we're all pretty much screwed anyway in a large fashion of form. And by screwed, I just mean those people who don't know that you need to have a little bit more rosemary and garlic and some iodine and some seaweed and other things that aren't contaminated that actually flush radioactivity out of your system. It's all right over the place. Most of it you can grow out of a can on the railing of a freaking apartment block, so there is no excuse to not survive this radioactive apocalypse. Just don't tell the people that you don't wish to survive about it.
Well, you know what I think? What I think is really interesting is that these nuclear plants are still running. They're not shut down, right? They're waiting until the floodwaters get like a foot from their door. Well, I'm looking at a picture that is showing the one nuclear plant, the water is in the buildings, and it says that they're not going to shut them down until the last minute. And it doesn't matter whether they shut them down, though, or not, you know? And then you have the Corps of Engineers, those wonderful people who have decided to destroy the levees that they built to hold back floodwaters to flood farmland so that it could all rush downstream and flood all the areas between the Missouri and the Mississippi and the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, this
with
goes
every
back to
manner of contamination.
Well, this goes back to the whole idea of the Gulf oil cano crisis, and it's basically what I come to call the global cacophony of simultaneous crisis. Okay? It'll create immense amounts of chaos. That's the idea. And a plus, on the plus side, if you're a globalist, of course, sociopathic, eugenics-loving, murdering slime, you're going to be looking at a lot of sickness, a lot of death in the general population, which fits in with their schemes, you know, as ties in with the old Georgia Guidestones, that they only want about 500 million of us left. And, you know, just the Fukushima incident alone, it's easily 5, and I've heard numbers of up to like 80 to even a million times worse than Chernobyl, which caused the world cancer rate to freaking skyrocket. Now it's 1 in 3. Used to be like 1 in 80 or 180 or something ridiculously rare way back in the day before World War II happened, and they had to invent freeze-dried foods for the troops to carry out into the field to survive a couple of days on their own. And when the freeze-dried foods were no longer needed for combat, they started selling it to the public.
Well, yeah, they even sold, you know, the fish that could not be sold from the Gulf so that the fishermen could make some money. The government did buy it off the people, but it wound up in the commissaries.
Well, the Barack
on the military bases.
Well, Barry Satoro, or President BS for short, was photographed, quote, eating Gulf shrimp. There's nothing to worry about. It's all sweet ass. Later turns out it was imported. Another photo comes out of our Lord and Savior, President BS, Barack H. O'Barry for short, swimming in lovely, calm, clear waters, saying that they were perfectly happy, and he was with his daughter, of course, to swim in the Gulf waters, and that they were perfectly safe. Later turns out that those were snapped in Madrid, Spain. At least a couple of thousand miles away from the contaminated Gulf Coast. Comes out that in the middle of the night, this is hilarious. It's spooky, scary, but hilarious to my reckoning. In the middle of the night, there are animal carcasses that wash up on the beach, inextricably. Within minutes, a parade of people with flashlights, plastic bags, and shovels descend upon each corpse and hurry it away so that nobody can take any pictures of it, so that BP won't be held liable for the amount of death. You know, in New Zealand, for example, if you kill a seagull, whether it's by the response of your toxicity or whatever, 50 grand, right? Same laws or similar in the United States. Every single carcass that's found is more liability. So what do? They grab all the carcasses before anybody can get them on liability. How brilliant. Nobody gets to take any responsibility in this world. That's the ultimate problem. Nobody's taking any freaking responsibility. If the community were wise to that, in the middle of the night, when carcasses are dropping out, they'd be out there with softball bats and cracking these people with flashlights over their head and saying, get the hell out of here. Okay? That's evidence. You are tampering with evidence, and we're going to hold you until the police arrive. And then the police arrive, and they say, oh, we're going to have to arrest you for assault because BP has jurisdiction here. BP
right.
Now controls the local emergency response forces. Isn't that neat?
I know. It doesn't make any sense that our government would so, and that our military would so willingly give up control to a corporation. Unless, of course, maybe the corporation owned them.
I say it should have been the other way around, where the second that that wellhead burst, it should have become clear that the extent of whatever damage was going to ensue, and I'm talking about like in a moment's notice, was far more great than the worth of the entire BP corporation worldwide. And at that moment, I think that there should have been a snap decision for the United States of America to nationalize the BP corporation. Okay? Because it's done enough damage, and it's done more damage than it can pay for ever, more damage than the whole company is worth. Take control of that company. But instead what happens is the United States signs documents allowing BP to take over the government.
Right, and here's the deal, is that BP was a British company. Wasn't it? Oh. It's not, it has business here, but its actual base is not here in America. The They're not an American company.
The Queen has big shares in BP, I'm told.
Right. Right.
You find the same globalist fingerprints everywhere you look. All these so-called big three oil companies or whatever, they're just a cartel, just like the banking system is a cartel, and together they have control over the issuance of currency worldwide and the issuance of energy worldwide. Okay? What greater control mechanisms do you need? You've got control over everything.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's why these big oil corporations and big private banks get away with so much villainy. It's because they're all in cahoots. It's just that clean. It really is. People refuse to believe that every single experience in their life of them being screwed over by somebody more powerful than them, and whether that be in a job or, your older brother or sister or something may steal something from you or beat you over the head or whatever. Everybody should know from the lesson there that those who have power abuse it. And you're the one who winds up in the empty.
I agree. And, well, we did have a slight win here in the United States. I think the Supreme Court just voted that the 10th and 14th Amendment covers people as well as corporations, okay?
As in declaring sovereignty.
Right. See, the corporations, they run things, but now they say the people can say, we don't want the federal corporations running us anymore.
Well, in actual fact, you'd be surprised to know that the corporations like Walmart and all these big ones, they're actually largely owned by the U.S. government. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
The U.S. government is something like a 45% share in Walmart. Something like a 60-70% share in McDonald's. And all of these big, all those major U.S. corporations that are doing all the scumbaggery all around the world, they're majorly owned by the U.S. government. It's unbelievable. There's this guy at realityblogger.com, that's basically blogger with one G, because he just doesn't have any marketing ability, but brilliant researcher, realityblogger.com. You will be able to see all about it. This dude, he created a documentary series called The Corporation Nation. And he found out this very, very important thing. And not only that, but they also own everybody's private property. They also own major stakes in corporations of cities, which own the property that your houses are on. So they own your property too.
Right. I know.
Sure. And
right now, do you know the Corps of Engineers is now going along the rivers and trying to get the people to sell their land and their homes? And people are getting upset because they're receiving letters. The Corps says that they're buying up the land there for easement.
For easement. Well,
yeah.
I don't know what the heck's going on here, man. There's this Agenda 21 Wildlands project where they're trying to, and I read an article about this in New Zealand, that openly stated Agenda 21 was the good thing for the city and actually named the Agenda 21 document. And basically, what we're talking about here is if you're living in any kind of semi-rural area, you won't. Any far out, any place far out that you, you know, won't be bothered by anybody, you won't be living there no more. Mm-mm. You're going to be packed and stacked, little prison-like cities. Every form of life will be taxed, licensed. You'll have to apply for permission to have children. You'll be stacked up in these massive slave blocks. You know, goodness knows how tall they'll be. Along railroad tracks, so that your travel is highly restricted. This is all planned out. It's in black and white. It's not a secret.
But, Vinny, it's good. It's what's good for us.
Well, that's what they think is what's good for us.
Like, yeah.
Basically, they just want what's good for them. And the irony is, they don't think we know what's good for us, but they think that they do. But I say that they don't know what's good for them either. Because what's going to happen? What are they going to do? Wipe everybody else out and then sit underground, you know, in these massive mega bases that they've built after sucking trillions upon quadrillions of dollars out of the US and global economy to build all these. And then what do they get at the end of that? They get to be stuck underground for 100 years with a bunch of ruthless, raping psychopaths. Clearly these people don't know what they're dealing with.
I would kind of think, you know, it would almost be worth it if they would do that.
Well, you know, Danny Romero, and his name doesn't get mentioned a lot, and a lot of people don't know who he is. He's a former friend of Alex Jones, and now he owns AmericanFreedomRadio.com, which has 26 AM FM affiliates all around the world, and he personally invited me to have my radio show on American Freedom Radio. I'm very thankful for that. But he has a saying, in the end, everybody ends up where they deserve to be.
Yep.
Would that not be the perfect idealization of hell? Locked underground in the dark with people you can't trust.
People just like you.
Yeah. I could think of no worse fate. And this is the the fate that they've planned for us, to just kill us and then have us all in a slave-like existence. That's far superior to the fate that they've got aligned for themselves, which they think is great.
Right. Right.
You know, they're out of their freaking minds. That's what people have to realize. Your leaders, your prime sinister, your freaking president of nothing. They ain't got no control. They are pathetic puppets controlled by a bunch of hedonistic, satanic, filthy, deceptive, an extremely wealthy, dumbed down, retarded, inbred swine. So why do you think that the whole of society doesn't make any sense to you? It's because you're not that stupid. It's because you're not retarded. Because you know that something's going on, because it was all planned and schemed by a bunch of useless scum. Great scheme, way back in the day, just carried out by morons. And we can outwit these people. You know, I don't need a frickin' schedule or some kind of phone call even in advance to come on a radio show or whatever. I can just do it, okay? Because we're all independent out here. And for F's sake, opportunities are what we have to strike at the most. Enough to get media attention for people that really need it. Recently, a good friend of mine and campaigner in the New Zealand courts, Vince Seymour, who revealed in a recent article that most of the New Zealand's 180 or odd high court justices are all first cousins. And there's even a husband and wife. And they are engaged in incredible amounts of corruption. He's now going to be sent to jail for exposing them. Literally. And this is what we have to look forward to, ladies and gentlemen. The most respected people in society operate under a thin veil of deception. Once you know who they truly are, what their true modus operandi actually is, you no longer listen to a word they say because they have absolutely no credibility and never did. And they are out there purely to operate a system that assists only in your destruction. That's why they call it the criminal justice system. Because it's just criminal.
You're absolutely right. I've often thought about that, that they named it really well. And I think that it's awful telling that FEMA and the Red Cross and all these people term people as human resources. I think that's more telling than anything. That's all they see us as, is a resource. And if it wasn't for their resource, they wouldn't have the infrastructure. They wouldn't have their underground bunkers. They wouldn't have their false science. They wouldn't have their bombs. You know, it all comes down to they don't really have the ability to rule other than in secret, because once they are brought out in the open, they are like the Wizard of Oz. When you pull back that curtain, the stature is not that of a giant. You know, it's that of a 3 foot tall dwarf, you know. And who is unable to function on his own. And I think that's what we're up against, Vinny. And I think as soon as the people realize that that's all we're up against is this little guy pretending he's a giant, and we just stand up and we say, enough, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not playing your game anymore. I'm not joining in your society anymore. I am standing free, and I am speaking and living for myself. You know, and being responsible. I'm not talking about anarchy. I don't believe that anarchy is the way to go, but I do believe that there is a certain faction that, that feels we are being pushed toward that. But I think if all the people in the world were to just stand up and say, okay, that's enough. We're going to develop our own systems. We're going to do it outside of the monetary system, outside of the government-controlled system. And, if they just did that, if the, you know, we would have it down pat. Why don't we do that? Why don't we do it, Vinny? Why doesn't everybody just say enough?
There comes a time in everybody's life where you have to realize that you're heading in the wrong direction. You know, it's like you come to a fork in the road and you choose one fork and you you're traveling for quite a while and you think, you know what, man? That I don't think we took the right turn down this way. Hey, bro, let's go back. You know, I don't want to see where this road ends, because I know that this is not the right way.
Right.
Okay. And I know this because I've seen the signs and they say stop and pull a U-turn. Okay. Everything in this society right now needs to stop. Okay, and let's push the reset button. I say, you know, nothing works. Fine, let's all just stay home. Make sure everybody prepares over a period of say 3 months or something, and they all organize amongst themselves that they're going to stay home for 2 months. And they are not going to go to work. They're not going to participate. And everything around this world stops right here, right now. Don't give a crap about anybody's authority, because I don't have any credibility. That's what I'd love to see happen. But then, of course, what about the anarchy that would emerge afterwards? Because we all talk about, you know, uniting on the points that we agree and leaving them to the wayside because we've got bigger enemies. But the problem is, if you don't have a plan in place and a common strain amongst you, rather than just, oh, those are my enemies, you'll obviously have a great deal of problems setting up any form of stable society after we have defeated our enemies. And then our enemies will become each other, and they'll just keep endlessly multiplying and replacing themselves. And just, it's basically like the evil will just transmute. We'll never get rid of it. And I think that that's one of the sad realities that I've come to see that a lot of the older patriots in the movement have done. I think it was Bob Chapman that told me this. I asked him, was there ever a way that he could, you know, wipe out corruption and evil and all this kind of stuff forever? And he said, no, it's a perennial problem. It's something that every generation has to deal with. The problem is the last two generations of mankind haven't dealt with it. They haven't routed the corrupt people in their societies. No, you've given them knighthoods. You've given, you know, it's a whole topsy-turvy society that we've got here. You know, don't you think that that's true? That it's the people who basically ain't got nothing that are the gold standard of humankind.
I agree.
They care about each other. They're there for one another, even though they got nothing. And the elite, really, are the gutter trash of society. They don't care about anybody, and they just hoard everything from everyone else.
And they have no connection to the rest of humanity. It's like they've dissected themselves outside and consider themselves something other than human. And it's really bizarre, and it shows a very unstable mental capacity there. You know, these people are running on pure madness and inner breeding, you know, and it's easy to corrupt somebody when a society is taught and manipulated over the generations to lie a little bit and then lie a little bit more and take one bribe, take a little bit more. And then soon everybody's doing it. Everybody's in bed with the corporations. Everybody's in bed with the banks. And then they can't walk out. Bull. Stand up. Walk out. Form a new. You can't tell me that we don't have people in government right now all over the world who are there honestly trying to help the people. There are those in there. They're not elite. They're the senators and the congressmen from Arkansas or Georgia or Louisiana or whatever
wind up going to a Bilderberg group meeting and become the next president.
True.
You can't trust a lot of them. It's like I keep saying, man, don't think you can change the system by using the system. It doesn't work for you. It was made to not work for you. You can't make it work for your own ends. If there's going to be any real political change, it has to be through means outside of the political sphere. And I'm talking business, I'm talking media. That is the way that you will influence the people. If you're capable of making a bar of soap that doesn't do any harm to the environment and is really, really good and is competing with big globalist companies that sell you crap that'll kill you, and you can make a buck off it and people get a real good use out of that product, then hey, I think that truthers should be able to, you know, just put your website on, put your banner on their website and engage in a truther-oriented business network. That is what is happening in the future now, where we have businesses that are cause-based. That's the problem with a lot of corporations. Their only cause is profit. Okay,
or right.
At least those are the causes to the lower down people who just carry out the programming and the orders from up high. But that's basically their only bottom line. In a new business model, we would be using three or more bottom lines. Okay, it has to make a profit. First of all, you've got to keep a business afloat. Two, it has to do good for the community. And three, it has to not damage the environment. It has to be renewable. Now, we talk about renewable and all of this other crap. It's basically UN propaganda saying, oh, well, you know, we have to have all this more sustainability and you have to give up all your rights and whatnot and we'll just take control of your cities. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something that's actually beautiful, grown from the ground by ethical farmers who know their trade. Okay, these are the types of people, like the small independent farm businesses and all of that kind of stuff. Those are the people that need your dollars the most because they make products that compete with the New World Order. Vote with your dollar, first of all. And I believe that the alternative media holds now an important responsibility to actually bring those products and services out to a wider audience so that people don't have to buy crap from Macca's or any of this other stuff and do nothing. You know, what about all these water-fueled cars and all that kind of stuff? There's a lot of scams out there and whatnot. We don't want any of that kind of crap anymore, bro. Seriously, let's get into it. The three pillars of society are business, media, and politics. And it's all been well established that the business world and the media world and the political world are all linked together like a massive freaking daisy chain that has no end to it, okay? And so, in order to get rid of them, you don't need to attack them. You just need to replace them. Because they're no longer relevant to today.
Yeah, but I think we need a new system, too, to where a new we need to overhaul everything. We need to get rid of it because nothing works. The reason why it doesn't work is because it's built to be corrupted. How do you build a system that is not...
That's where politics comes in, because I told you about how the media and the business side work, but this what you talked about there is where the political side of things come in, because it's based on action. Traditional politics has no action to it. They're just basically crapping around. They're doing street protests and whatnot. That stuff's basically, it's ineffective, unless, of course, you've got big media campaigns or whatever behind you. However, in the modern sphere of politics, basically what you really want to do is turn the entire political sphere into the joke that it is. You know, I'm a voucher of the clown party. You know, this is somebody like dresses in a big clown suit and goes up on stage to do the debates with everybody, and he says to the crowd, "Vote for me. I'm way less corrupt than the rest of these clowns."
Right.
I mean, that's how we've got to do, because... let's face facts here. There is no effing way, and Patty, you got to agree with me on this. There is no effing way we're going to elect our way out of tyranny.
No.
You know, no. You've got to be the most naive, dipshite Muslim that has walked the earth today if you believe that.
Right. I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. And anybody who actually thinks that voting does make a difference is under a very big delusion, because voting hasn't worked for this country. Who knows? It maybe never did. You know, we have no clue.
Well, I'm parallel, and that's a great word that I like to use a bit. If you're going to replace politics, you need to replace the political spectrum with a parallel political spectrum. Currently, what we have is, say, for example, the main headline parties, the Tories, and the only Tory that I listen to is His Story, but there's also the other scum tossed in as well. Whatever. I don't care what country you're in, they're all scum. The ones that get all the media attention and whatnot, you know.
Exactly.
Instead, we run an online election with all the real parties. And we exclude all those mainstream scum that distract everybody. And then we elect our own independent parliament, and we start organising our communities, our own local community groups and things like that. There's a notion known as political infiltration, or you do this with parties. If you go, say, we take the example of, say, a yachting club. Guy walks into a yachting club and he says, "I want to have a speedboat here," and he raises his hand, "I want to vote for a speedboat to be allowed in the club." Everybody else there, the yachties and all of that kind of stuff, they say, "Nah, F off with your speedboat." So the guy goes, "Okay." And then the next day, he brings a mate with him, and they just sit down quietly, they do the yachting thing and everything, and in another couple of months, he brings in a few more mates, and then he goes, "Hey, I vote we should allow speedboats." And all of a sudden, a bunch of hands come up supporting them. And then they have to allow speedboats. You can do the same thing with political parties. Infiltrate them with truthers. Get them to pass warrants. Like, for example, we are going to ban GMO food. Because as soon as it becomes party policy, they have to abide by it. Okay, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
When you're talking about this thing, politics has been turned into a form of sophisticated psychological warfare against the public. So therefore, in my opinion, we need to use sophisticated psychological and guerrilla warfare in order to defeat it. See what I'm saying? We use all their strengths and their ignorances against them.
I agree.
They abide by these rules. They have a framework. We don't. We can think outside the square that they can't. They cannot beat us. This is what I keep trying to tell people. Anybody who gets depressed out there, "Oh, New World Order's going to kill us all. There's no point fighting." I'm just like, listen, mate, you can do a heck of a lot more with one day's research than the average New World Order knowing New World Order slave will ever accomplish in a lifetime. Okay?
Yep. You're
that much more valuable an organism than they.
Right. Right. Well, Vinny, I have an announcement. I don't know if you've heard. These Changing Times Radio is getting ready to go 24/7.
No kidding.
No kidding. Independent network.
Oh, you're going to be in for a lot of problems.
I know. But, you know, being on BTR is really good because it's been like a learning experience. And BTR has some issues with it, and we really want to branch out. And we have a lot more people coming who want to host and tell their truth. And we have to, you know, I want to provide a place for them, a venue, and that's what we're doing. It's free to any host. Nobody pays anything. And These Changing Times Radio is just, that's it. It's just the umbrella that covers all the hosts, you know. And we've gotten a lot of good feedback and positive feedback, and we're really raring to go. So it's where our launch date is July 1st, and I want to have you come on maybe after we get the bugs worked out, maybe after the first weeks.
You can rebroadcast archives of my show if you like.
I would love to.
I've got an affiliates page. Yeah, I'll send you the link. It's pretty self-explanatory. There's no contracts or anything like that, and you can broadcast the show for free and insert whatever you want into the free slots. There you go.
That would be wonderful, now, and we would definitely put you on.
Now, speaking of which, I wanted to go on a tangent here about the personification of the elite. This is the fun fact for the day, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to have an idea for how the elite are. There's a special servant in the for the royals called the groomer of the stool.
Of the what?
The stool.
Oh, my gosh.
I stool you not. Okay, that is the measure of their insanity, ladies and gentlemen. They have an employee called the groomer of the stool. I don't need to say any more.
I assume that is really what I'm thinking it is then. Does he stay in the bathroom, you know, with his little brush there?
Well, they don't leave home without him, actually. No, he tends to their every bathroom need. And afterwards inspects.
Oh.
The divine poop.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Oh. Whenever you get me on talk radio, it eventually turns to stool.
I just have these pictures.
Oh, no, I've got some pictures, actually, too, of this. I downloaded them off the internet the other day. They have their own porta-potty that they bring around with them because they...
Oh, my gosh!
They do not use the commoners' lavatories anywhere. They actually have to carry around with them their own personal groomer of the stool potty.
You know what would be cool? If you ever caught them out in the open and you get some poop bombs going?
Well, you know... It reminds me of a story a friend of mine said. He was staying in this hut in Africa, and they just roasted up a chicken on the fire and put it on the table, and they hadn't closed the windows, and a troop of about six or seven monkeys swing in through the door, scoop up the chicken, throw poo on the wall, and then leave.
Oh, my gosh.
This is unbelievable. They didn't hurt anybody. They just threw poop at them. and again, this personifies the elite. They are those cheeky monkeys who just throw their crap at you and steal your last meal.
I just had this vision of taking this group of monkeys and turning them loose in the GOP. You know, the good old party, when they go to decide who's going to run for presidency, a couple thousand people in there. Yeah. Mm. I would love that. I'm sorry. See, I shouldn't be thinking about things like this, Benny, because...
No, I think you should. I think it is healthy to speculate. I think it is healthy to joke around, because if you... Well, I figure that the key to balance is being able to swing to either extreme and still being able to come back to the center. A lot of people... They can't come back to the center. They're either deadly serious or they take nothing seriously.
That's true. That's why I like you so much, because I don't, you know, it is true that sometimes you absorb so much of this chaos and negativity that's out there that you forget that you have the power to slough this stuff off, even though it is serious stuff, even though it is affecting your life, knowing what it is and how to combat it, that's where the power is. Well, not giving in to the fear and the depression.
Well, there's an interesting point about this, because both in combat and in medicine, they say the same thing about this, is that they joke around about these serious situations while they're doing stuff about it, okay? Because they cannot deal with the seriousness of the situation. And that's what people need to realize, is that this reality is far too much for you. Believe me, you need coping mechanisms. A lot of them. As many as humanly possible. Preferably humans. Other people right. that you get along with, that support you, that can counsel you in dark times and whatnot. People you look up to, people you learn from. Okay, these are the kind of inspirational sources that'll see you well on your journey in life. And don't, under any circumstances, spend 1 second of your time with somebody who doesn't really appreciate you. Seriously, there's 6 billion people on this planet, and you're sitting around with the same old friends that you had ages ago that you realize that you got basically nothing in common with, and they call you a conspiracy theorist. What are you doing? Go around and find somebody else who doesn't treat you like that. Okay,
exactly.
You have a variable choice out there. It's a bar mitzvah of of epic proportions with social media platforming these days, man. Seriously, through social media, I messaged G. Edward Griffin on Facebook, and he just sent me an email the other day saying that I made his day because I volunteered to be part of the Leadership Council for Freedom Force International. Now, for a 26-year-old New Zealander who's been in the
wow.
truth movement for not only a few years, to have G. Edward Griffin send me an email like that makes me feel absolutely over the moon, and also makes me recoil in terror that I might wind up getting too full of myself and wind up taking advantage
90
of the situation.
Seconds.
There's that robot voice again. Well, you know, the thing, Benny, is that I talk to you every time I talk to you and stuff. You always, people gravitate to you, and you are growing. You're getting popular. You are really an awesome host. And of course, people are going to gravitate to you, especially big names and everything, because you have that charisma. You have that
60
power.
Seconds.
But you always remain humble. You always keep yourself, you always say, you know, I hope I don't, or I don't want to ever become, and you won't, as long as you keep that up.
But you know who told me that, who basically gave me the real justification for that view of mine? It was when I had George Norrie on my show.
Wow.
That's what he said, and I was just like, well, I'm definitely on the right track, because I, you know, basically, secretly, I want to be George Norrie.
Well, basically, secretly, I want to get just like you.
Okay, great. See, that way, we're all living each other's dreams, and none of us are ourselves. Isn't that fun?
Well, yeah, I've got my mentor, you've got your mentor, you know?
10 seconds.
I say we share all of our mentors. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us with Patty M. Walking Turtle and Vinnie Eastwood, myself, at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. We'll see you again sometime.
And thank you so much, Benny, for being here with us tonight. It has been awesome. I always love to have you on. And you know what? You are so gracious. I just want to thank you for taking these last-minute Skypes and agreeing. I mean, you're just awesome. You're my hero, dude.
Well, it's Saturday afternoon, and it's always a good idea to have fun with friends on a Saturday afternoon, and I count you among my very closest, Patty. Thank you.
Wonderful. Hey, Vinny, I'll talk to you very soon.
All right. Thank you, darling. See ya.
Okay. Bye-bye.